Okay, let's begin. We're up to Perek Lamed Ches, Pasuk Chof Dalet. We are in the middle of the story. Yirmiyah was thrown into a dungeon. His life was in grave danger. Miraculously, this fellow by the name of Eved Melech Hakushi, which we learned yesterday to be referring to Baruch Ben Neriah.
Better than being called Achbar, no?
Okay, his name was, and his name is, and he was known according to the Mefarshim as Eved Kushi. That was his name. And he was thrown into the dungeon. He was in great danger. He was about to drown. There was mud and there was water. And these people who were close to Tzidkiyahu convinced Tzidkiyahu that Yirmiyah must be put to death because he is predicting gloom and doom for Klal Yisrael. He is destroying the morale of the army and of the people. And Tzidkiyahu said to them, "If you want to kill him, I'm not going to stop you. I see that my power is weak, and I have no choice. It's either going to be me or him. If I'm going to protest and not kill him, you're going to kill me. So you know what? Do to him what you want." They threw him into the dungeon. He was about to die. And this person, Eved Melech Kushi, came along and asked Tzidkiyahu to please let me go save him. And indeed, Tzidkiyahu says, yes, go save him. He went, he took some rags, ropes. He threw the rags down into the pit. He told Yirmiyahu to put the rags underneath his armpit. And he threw down the ropes, and he put the ropes under the armpit. And 30 people, very interesting, 30 people had to participate to drag Yirmiyahu up from the pit. That's a lot of people, 30 people to pick up. So we learned yesterday the people that pulled them up were extremely weak. Under normal circumstances, it would require 3 people to pull up a person from a dungeon. But being that these people were extremely weak due to the famine, they were reduced to a tenth of a man. And therefore, 3 people turned into 30 people. Okay, so he was saved, Tzidkiyahu called Yirmiyahu to a private meeting. They met privately, and Tzidkiyahu asked Yirmiyahu, maybe you have a new prophecy from Hashem. What do you have to say? And Yirmiyahu said to him, I'm telling you one last time, Hashem said to me to tell you, surrender. Go out to Melech Bavel, surrender, and if you surrender, your life will be spared. The life of your family will be spared. Yerushalayim will not be destroyed. And when he told him this prophecy in advance, he told him, I'm only going to tell you the prophecy. Tzidkiyahu said, tell me, do not be afraid. I swear to you, I will not kill you for telling me bad news. Okay. And then, just to review on the last point we mentioned yesterday, is, and after he told him, he also said to him, do not be afraid. Yirmiyahu said to Tzidkiyahu, what's the reason why you don't want to surrender? What are you really afraid of? You're afraid of humiliation. You're afraid that the Melech Bavel will then deliver you into the hands of your enemies. Who are your enemies? The other half of Klal Yisrael. Because we learned yesterday there were 2 groups in Klal Yisrael. There was a group who wanted to surrender, and there was a group who did not want to surrender. The group that did not want to surrender, the group that wanted to surrender had deep hatred for Tzidkiyahu. And these people who did want to surrender indeed defected. They did surrender. So Tzidkiyahu's primary fear was that when he does surrender to Tzidkiyahu, Tzidkiyahu will then deliver Tzidkiyahu to the hands, to the authority of the people of Klal Yisrael who have already defected to Nebuchadnezzar. And that would be the ultimate humiliation for Tzidkiyahu. That's where his weakness lies. I saw this yesterday, and I prepared yesterday, going back a little bit, and that's a very fascinating point. You always look at a person, why do people make big mistakes? Today in politics, ruba de ruba, most politicians, they get into trouble in the cover-up. The cover-up, what?
Rubio de Rubio.
Most politicians get into trouble in the cover-up. It's bad enough to do an Avera. Rubio de Rubio, most of the time, if a person does an Avera and they say, Chotasi, I have sinned, I acknowledge, I made a horrible mistake, so many times that would go a very long way in allowing the person to maintain, to retain his position of authority, and so on and so forth. What is human nature, and this is the weakness of all many, many great people, is they make mistakes and they try to cover up their mistakes. And they are destroyed when the cover-up does not go according to plan. Most notable is David HaMelech. David HaMelech took Bathsheba from the husband she was still to some degree partially married to some degree to Uriah HaChiti, and he took her prematurely. And when Nathan HaNavi confronted David HaMelech and said to him, David was the other way. He said Chatasi. I'm sorry, not David. I'm referring to Shaul. When Shaul went and he sinned and he did not do what he was supposed to do, he did not wait for Shmuel to arrive before he offered the carbon. And when Shaul did not kill Melech Agag, and he was confronted by Shmuel, why did you not fulfill the command of Hashem? He covered up his sin by saying, I did nothing wrong. That's where the weakness lies. In this instance, it's something different. In this instance, Chazal are very precise. The weakness of Tzidkiyahu, who was a very, very great tzaddik, was his fear of humiliation. His fear that when he will surrender, he's not afraid to surrender. He was more than willing to listen to Yirmiyahu and surrender to Nebuchadnezzar, even though that itself would be a great act of humiliation. What he was afraid of is that his enemies, his fellow Jews, who were his mortal enemies, would now get the better of him. Now that he surrendered, Nebuchadnezzar would say, I'm giving you over to the people whom you've always been fighting with, whom you've disagreed with. They are now going to be your new authority. That was too much for Tzidkiyahu to bear, and that's why he refused to surrender. And we learned yesterday, there are different, we didn't really go through the interpretation, but we learned, the first one we read into the Pesukim yesterday is that Yirmiyahu told Tzidkiyahu, do not worry, it's not going to happen. Nebuchadnezzar will not deliver you to the hands of your fellow Jews who do not like you. There's nothing to worry about. A problem though is, he refused to listen. He refused to listen. That's where we begin over here now. Pasuk of Dalet, Vayomer Tzidkiyahu El Yirmiyahu. Tzidkiyahu says now to Tzidkiyahu. So again, it's part Perik Lamed Ches, Pasuk of Dalet. Vayomer Tzidkiyahu El Yirmiyahu. Ish al Yeda Badvar Moili. You've told me over here a very important message. I want to warn you. When you're going to walk out of the palace, people are going to take note. All the media, the paparazzi, they're all outside waiting. They're waiting outside to see that there's a meeting between me and you, and they're all going to harass you to know the nature of the conversation. What exactly did you say to Tzidkiyahu, and what did Tzidkiyahu say to you? I'm warning you now, Tzidkiyahu says to Yirmiyahu, when you leave the palace, do not reveal to any person one word of the conversation between me and you. Vayomer Tzidkiyahu al Yirmiyahu, ish al yeda, and that way you will not die. Because if you violate my command and you tell people what happened, the conversation between me and you, the advice that you gave me and my refusal, then you will die. When the Sodom find out that you have spoken, that I have spoken to you, and they come to you, and they say, tell us what exactly you spoke to the king. Al tichached mimenu v'lo nimisecha. Do not withhold from us the nature of the conversation so that we will not kill you, implying that if you, Yirmiyah, refuse to tell us what happened in this meeting, we're going to kill you. Umadiber lech hamelech, and tell us what the king said to you. So when this happens, when you walk out of the palace and they're going to confront you and they're going to demand from you answers, the amart, I'm going to give you something what to say, and they will leave you alone. I have a plan. The amar to alehem, you know what you say to them will satisfy them. Mapil ani tichinasi lefnei hamelech. Tell them that you went to the king to beg the king that the king should not allow the people to put you back in prison. Lefnei hamelech levilti hashiveni beis yohanason. Do not put me back in the home of Yonason. That's the name of the prison. Lamush shom, to die there. That will be acceptable to the media. The media is thirsty to know the nature of the conversation. I'm warning you, don't tell them. If you'll tell them nothing, they're not going to be satisfied. They're going to harass you until they drink, so they extract from you information. So tell them a cover story. The cover story for the conversation was, you came to the Melech to beg the Melech that the Melech should not give permission to the people who hate Yirmiyah to put him back in prison. And the Melech said, okay, I give you a pardon. This is a great cover story. The media will fall for it. They're not going to know the true nature of what happened between me and you. Let's see these psukim inside Pasuk Chav Dalet. Pasuk Chav Dalet in Mitzudas David. I'm warning you, do not reveal to the people what was the nature of the conversation, these words. What I spoke to you. Because if you're going to tell them what happened, you're going to die. If you're going to tell them what you told me, that Hashem says that the city of Yerushalayim is going to be destroyed because of my refusal to surrender, they are going to kill you. If they're going to hear what I spoke to you, the Yishalucha Loimar, and they're going to ask you, Ma Haged Lonu Ma Hema, tell us the nature of the conversation, V'lo Nimisicha Bavur Zeh, so that we will not kill you, Umo Omar Lonu Ma Dibul Chamelech, and tell us the response of the king. So what you should tell them, the cover story is, Ma Pilani Mevake Shayisi Lefne Hamelech Shelo Yoshiv Oisi El Beis Yehonasan Shayisi Osu Shama Barishoina Lo Musham Godel Akas Hamasar. Tell them that you came to the king to make a request that you be part, that you not have to return to prison.
Who did they kill? The crowd or Tzipio?
What?
Sorry.
Who was
going to kill him?
The crowd, the people, the officers, the cabinet. The same people we had, the minister we had yesterday. We actually listed their names. These ministers who told Tzidkio we want to put him in the dungeon because he is speaking bad words on Yerushalayim. We want to put him to death. So this wasn't. Let's see over here. Rashi. There is no Rashi in the Sukkim. Let's see the Radak starting with Pasuk Chav Dalet through Pasuk Chavav. Some of the Radaks are more grammatical, so we'll just skim over them. There is no Radak. Okay, next Pasuk Chav Zayin. Vayavahu kol hasorim el Yirmiyahu vayishalu eso, and they asked him indeed what exactly happened inside the palace. Vayagei lechem kol hadar ma'il ashetziu melech vayacharishu mimenu, and they were quiet. Kiloi nishma hadavar, because the matter, the nevuah, was hidden. It was not revealed, the nevuah, that Hashem said Yerushalayim will be destroyed because the melech refuses to surrender. So the cover story worked. Let us see the Mitzudos David, Pasuk of Zayin. Vayacharishu mimenu, Shasku mimenu v'loy osu lo mu'umara. They were quiet and they did not harm him. They did not touch him. Ki heminu lo, they believed Yirmiyahu. Hadavar hadvarim ashahaya midabrim hamelech v'lo haya nishma l'shamadam. The matters, no one heard the real nature of the conversation. L'zeh heminu lo, they believed him. Ki lo haya miyuchal l'chachoshay. There was no one that was able to contradict him. It was a secret. Radak since the truth was that no one indeed heard the conversation between Yirmiyahu and the Melech, therefore they believed Yirmiyahu when he said, when he told them that there was nothing happened, and they did not investigate him further. Okay, Pasuk Chav Ches. Vayeshev Yirmiyahu b'chatzar ha'matara ad yom asher nilkado Yerushalayim, and indeed Yirmiyahu remained there in the courtyard, not in the dungeon itself. He was no longer in the dungeon. He remained in the courtyard until Nilkado, the day when Yerushalayim was captured. Is there a Mitzudos? Yes, Pasuk Chav Ches, Vayeshev Ritzon Eloimar, Gam be'ez kasher nilkado Yerushalayim ha'yisham, he was there. I'm sorry, I'm in the middle of the pasuk. He ad yom asher nilkado Yerushalayim v'haya kasher nilkado Yerushalayim, and then it came about the fulfillment of the prophecy of Yerushalayim being captured. It's a very strange pasuk. In my edition, at least, there's a parsha stuma. In the middle of the pasuk, the parsha stuma, and this is really leading into the beginning of the next perek. It's now leading in exactly when the korban came about. Okay, now let's just see what he says. Not only was was he there until the time of the Chumran? He was there as well, the Chumran as well. V'lo zoz zoz me'atzma misham, he did not leave from there. What bothers me about this pasuk, doesn't bother me, is there's a very famous medrash. The very famous medrash is that Yirmiyahu was friends with Aristotle.
Plato.
He was friends with Plato, and No, wait, I'm sorry, that's another medrash. I'm getting confused. I'm sorry, one medrash at a time. Yirmiyahu was friends with Nebuzaradan.
Nebuzaradan.
He was friends with Nebuzaradan, who was the general of Nebuchadnezzar. As we're going to see in the next parak, Nebuchadnezzar himself never came to Yerushalayim. He never, because Nebuchadnezzar was aware. He knew history, Jewish history. He knew that Melech Ashur, Melech Sancheriv, the king of Ashur, about 200 years ago, just destroyed the entire Eretz Yisrael. The last holdout was Yerushalayim. He came there with, according to one number, 800,000 soldiers, was about to destroy Yerushalayim, and that night, miraculously, the entire army was destroyed. They were wiped out by a malach that the night before, it was the Lel Pesach, the night before they were planning to destroy Yerushalayim. So Nebuchadnezzar knew about this, and he knew that there was a curse, there's a supernatural koyach in Yerushalayim, and he was afraid that it would happened to him like what happened to Nebuchadnezzar, like Sancheriv. So Nebuchadnezzar was afraid to personally appear on the battlefield in Yerushalayim. Therefore, he went to Rivla. Rivla was a location not so far from Yerushalayim where he would observe from afar but not come close. Now, if he's not going to approach Yerushalayim, he needed to appoint someone to take his place, and that was Nebuzaradan. Nebuzaradan was his general who went to attack Yerushalayim. Now, Nebuzaradan, many years ago, was a childhood friend of Yirmiyahu. And once upon, it says in the Medrash, they were once walking together in the field, they were playing together, and Nebuzaradan said, "Oh, if only the day will come when I can destroy Yerushalayim, I will be able to capture Yerushalayim." And Yirmiyah was a very holy child, and he sensed at that moment in time that indeed what he's saying was true, that the day indeed would come when this person would be able to capture, to conquer Yerushalayim. So Yirmiyah was petrified, so he said to him, "Don't do it. Let me, don't capture." I don't remember all of the details, but he started to say to him, "Don't go and destroy this, don't destroy that." And Nebuzaradan said, "No, I don't care. If I'm going to have the ability to do so, I'm going to do so." Until finally he made an agreement, "Since you're my childhood friend, I'll tell you what. That from the day in the morning, from the time in the morning from when I attack, until midday, anything that you can salvage from Yerushalayim, you can keep." In other words, "I'm going to start my conquest in the morning." They were like playing games, mind games. "But anything you can go during that half a day you can salvage, then I'm going to let you keep." So the Medrash goes on to say that in the day when the Churban HaBeis HaMikdash happened, Yirmiyahu was not there. He left. He was on leave. He went somewhere. And then from far he saw the smoke coming up and he realized the Churban Beis HaMikdash began. He ran to Yerushalayim in order to fulfill his part of the deal, that anything that he could save until Chatzos would be his. But by the time he arrived in Yerushalayim, it was exactly Chatzos Hayom and it was too late to save anything. Now that Medrash, which I just presented from just a skeleton version of the Medrash, appears to indicate that Yirmiyahu was not present in Yerushalayim on the day when it was destroyed. And here this pasuk says that Yirmiyahu was the Chatzar HaMatarah, that's in Yerushalayim, and ad yom asher nilketo Yerushalayim, ad v'la b'chtal. I guess that's what you have to say. So there is just one. It's a very powerful medrash. When you go to a Tisha B'Av program, you're almost certain to hear someone quote this medrash, the deal that was made between Nebuzaradan and Yirmiyahu. Maybe I'm making a mistake. Maybe it was not Nebuzaradan. Maybe it was Nebuchadnezzar himself. Could be Nebuchadnezzar himself, and Nebuzaradan was his assistant. I think it was Nebuchadnezzar. There was an arrangement made that he would be able to salvage whatever he wanted on that day, and over here it seems that he was there at least ad v'lo yad b'chlal. Okay, now v'hoya kasher nilu k'lishoyim, and now what? Yes, Yirmiyahu was in Eretz Yisrael until the Churban.
Radan or Nebuchadnezzar grew up in Eretz Yisrael?
they were child. Maybe they went to. He went overseas for school. He went to camp together, or they went.
They played ball together.
They came to America to go to college, right? He came. They somehow they met up. That's what it says in this Medrash. Okay, now the Radak. The Radak here writes the Hoya Kasher Nilkuda Yerushalayim Lefish Zochar Ad Asher Nilkuda Yerushalayim Zochar B'Samach Lechidas Yerushalayim Heichoisa. So now this pasuk begins exactly to describe in detail how it was destroyed. The material presented here in the next parakim are very similar to what it says in Sefer Milachim. In Milachim, in fact, there is more detail, but not all. There is difference. The different bits and pieces are here and there. You have to get the complete picture by learning both of them together. In the ninth month, Teves, the siege began at Yud Aleph Letzidkiyahu, until the 11th year of Tzidkiyahu, Shenilkada Yushlayim, until Yushlayim was captured. That we're going to see very soon in the next paragraph. Before we go further, I want to point out a very important medrash. The medrash over here says, V'hoya, it was now when Kasher Nilkada Yerushalayim, when Yushlayim was captured. So the medrash says there's a difference between the word Vayihi and the word V'hoya. Whenever it says in Tanakh Vayihi, it's Lashon Tsar. Vayihi bimei Achashverosh. When Achashverosh came to power, Vayihi comes from the word Vayi. It was woe. It was a very great sign for the entire world to have such a person in power. He tortured everyone. He raised taxes. He did things which were outrageous. Wherever it says the word Vihoya, it's Lashon Simcha. The Medrash asked the question from this pasuk: how can you say the word Vihoya in relative to the word Vayihi is in the expression of Simcha when it says here Vihoya Kasher Nilkida Yerushalayim? There could be no greater tsar for Klal Yisrael than when the Beis Hamikdash, when the Yerushalayim was captured. And the Medrash gives the classic answer that when the Churban came about, the Shtar Piraon, in other words, the debt of Klal Yisrael was paid up in full. I'll read you the words of the Medrash. V'hoya kashaluk yushalayim amalohem od hi simcha. Indeed, this was a simcha shebo bayom notla Yisrael apochei al avono sehem. They received a receipt for their sins. The Omar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni apochei gedola notlu Yisrael al avono sehem. Apochei means a receipt, a very big, important, significant receipt that the Jewish people receive for their sins. Bayom shachar beis hamikdash shenemar tam avoineich basion. Your sin is tam, is finished. You're no longer responsible. So there's always a silver lining in Yisurim. That's a very hard thing to swallow. People suffer very much in this world, and even though they're suffering, the suffering does for the neshama wonders. Wonders that we have no understanding of. We don't know what's going on in the next world, but we have emuna, maminim, b'nei maminim, that Yisurim cleanse the neshama, and therefore, even though it appears, and it not appears, it is extremely painful when something bad happens, but the silver lining is, v'hoya, there's a cleansing of the neshama, there is a receipt for chait, or whatever has to be rectified, is taking place. Easier said than done, yeah.
And also that Hashem took out his anger out
on the stones.
Wood.
And Echnami, Mizmar La'asaf, Mizmar La'asaf, Kina La'asaf Mibayle. But it was a Mizmar that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took out his anger on bricks and stones, wooden stones, and did not destroy Klal Yisrael. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have allowed the Mikdash to survive, then the Jewish people ultimately have been destroyed, so this was a very great Simcha. Okay, next. Now we go to the next passage, next Perek Lamed Tes, we begin the story. Ba'ashana HaTashiyas, in the ninth year, the Shana HaTashiyas is the ninth year. Sidkiyo was king for 11 years. The siege lasted 3 years, and the siege is going to begin on Asara B'Teves. V'hoya kasher nilkada b'shana hatashiyas, in the ninth year, Litzidkiyo, Melech Yehuda, b'chodesh ha'asir, the tenth month, Teves, ba Ba nevuchad retzar melech Babel v'chol chelo el Yerushalayim v'yotzuru olecha, and they laid siege to it. Now, when did exactly did they lay siege? So here it says ba'ashtei esrei shana letzidkio. When they laid siege, so it does not say exactly. All it says is the chodesh ha'asiri. But we know our tradition, I think it says it explicitly in Sefer Melachim, on the 10th day of Teves. Teves is the Chodesh Ho'asiri, and on the Asara B'Teves is the beginning of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And we all know that let's discuss Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, according to one opinion in the Gemara, most of the Beis HaMikdash was burnt on the 10th day of Av, but we still observe the 9th day of Av for the Churban Beis HaMikdash, because that's when it began to burn. Aschulei Puranisa Adifa. The beginning of Puranis is more significant. The beginning of the Churban Beis HaMikdash took place on what it says in this pasuk, in the 10th month, the Asara B'Teves. There are four different stages to the Churban, which we're going to learn all about right now in the next couple of psukim. The first stage is the siege, Asara B'Teves. The siege lasted for 3 years. The next stage was the falling of the walls, of the breaching of the walls of Yerushalayim, which took place on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, or according to what we're going to see over here, it took place on the 9th day of Tammuz. The next stage is the Churban Beis HaMikdash, Tisha B'Av. And the fourth stage is the death of Gedaliah ben Achikam, the assassination of Gedaliah ben Achikam, who was the governor of the survivors living in Eretz Yisrael. And with his assassination, those survivors fled. They fled, and there was absolutely nothing left in Eretz Yisrael. So these are the four stages: the siege, the breaching of the walls, the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and the assassination of the governor, which led to the complete the Makeb Patish of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. From these four different events, which one is the most significant? In the eyes of Chazal, the most significant is Asara B'Teves, because Asara B'Teves is the Aschola, it is the beginning. And that is why, that if Asara B'Teves would theoretically fall out on Shabbos, we would fast even on Shabbos itself. It just happens to be that it never falls out. But when does Asara B'Teves fall out? On Friday. Normally we do not have fast days on Friday. But when Asara B'Teves falls out on Friday, we do fast on Friday, because the severity of Asara B'Teves is the most significant relative to the other three. Let's see the pasuk. Get pasuk beis b'ashtei esrei shana l'tzidkiyahu, in the 11th year of Tzidkiyahu, b'chodesh hori. And now we have chodesh Av, b'tisha l'chodesh, on the 9th day of the month, chavka'o ho'ir, the city was breached. The city was breached, which basically means the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Okay, so we have over here these two events. Let's take a look over here at the Mitzudos, Pasuk Beis. Havka Ohoir, the city was breached. Chel Devuchanetza Baku Choymosa, Ki'ilu Na'aseis Me'atzma, as if it was Na'aseis, I don't know what that means. Kiiluna, as if the wall fell down by itself. Ki anshe Yerushalayim hayu chalushim berav loomdu lemulam laakev al yadu, were unable to defend themselves. Okay, Rashi, there is no Rashi in the Radak pasuk. There is no Radak either. Okay, pasuk. Let's go. Pasuk Gimel. Vayavahu kol sorei melech Babel vayeshu b'shar hatovech. They entered into this middle gate. Now we'll see what this means in a moment. Who? Now we have a list of eight different members of the court of the Melech Babel. Number one is Nergal, number one. Number two was Sar Etzer. Number three was Samgar Nevu. Next is Sar Sechim, Rav Saris, Nergal, another Nergal. Notice there are two people here that have the same name, another Nergal. Next is Sar Etzer, another person by the name of Sar Etzer, Rav Mog, period. Those are eight different members of the team of the Nebuchadnezzar, the Chol She'eris, Sarei Melech Babel, and the other members of the Prince of Babel. Let's see the Mitzudos, Pasuk Gimel, Beshar HaTovech, Hushar Shoy B'choymo Ho'emtsois. This was a gate that was in the middle wall, Ki Shalosh Choymois Hoyu B'Yerushalayim. And I do not know if we are familiar with this from any any historical accounts, but in Mitzudas over here says the fact that it says the Tavech, Tavech means the middle, there were three walls guarding Yerushalayim, not just the Beis HaMikdash, three walls guarding Yerushalayim, and they came now to the middle wall. Radak, Rashi's. That's what it says. It says Yerushalayim. Three, maybe three defenses. That's what it says. There were three walls surrounding Yerushalayim. That's what it says here. Let's see. What?
Surrounding Yerushalayim, what is the fourth wall?
You have to just do
a fourth wall? What do you mean? I don't know. The Shah, there were three, so the second one is the middle one. Let's see Rashi. Vayevokal sorry melech babel vayeshu b'shar ha-tavech magid sh'neskaima ka nevua el-yoyna ubahu, it was fulfilled at this moment in time, ubahu, they came v'nasnu ish kisay pesach share Yerushalayim. Now, Rashi over here is saying something very deep. Rashi over here is coming to this, how Mepharshim explained this psukim. What's the purpose of Yirmiyahu telling us of having all of this information repeated here in Sefer Yirmiyahu when all of this information is readily available in Sefer Melachim? So the answer is, the focus of these psukim here and all the details is to show to us that the prophecies of Yirmiyahu came true. In Sefer Melachim, there's an historical account of exactly what happened. But what happened is not necessarily coming to say to us, I told you it would happen. I want to show to you that a prophet's words are true. The nuances of expression in these psukim here are all focusing on very specific prophecies that were relayed back in the beginning of the Sefer. So we're not going to do it, obviously, because I don't know, the Mepharshim don't do it, I don't know how to do it, but that's the general approach of why we have this information. Every single thing, you want to go take out the Sefer and start from the Pasuk, go from Pasuk by Pasuk, every single thing that it says, that he predicted, came true. So here when it says they sat now in the Shar HaTovech, in the middle gate, this is a fulfillment of what Yirmiyah said, Ubahu, the enemy will come, V'nasnu ish kisoy, Pesach, at the opening Sha'arei Yerushalayim. Now what does it mean, Shar HaTovech, the middle wall? It means the Targum translates, V'sara mitziasa. Now here he's coming to disagree with the Mitzudos, Rashi, and he says this refers to, we actually had this before in the last parak, this refers to the Shar Hoazara. There are three gates coming not into Yerushalayim, but into the Beis HaMikdash. The first one is the Shar Hazara, Shar Nikonor HaMizrachi, v'hu ben Shar Ezras Noshim, u ben Shar Heichel. The third Shar is the Ulam. When you come into the actual Beis Ham, you come into the place where the menorah is, into the Kodesh HaKodashim, that's the first Shar. The second Shar is the Shar of Shar Nikonor, when you come into the Azara. The third Shar, the outer side, would be the Ezras Noshim. So according to Rashi, the enemy came, and they established themselves at the entrance to the Azara, the entrance of the Beis HaMikdash, which is called the Shar HaTovach. So far we have two interpretations. Now we have a third interpretation. Rabbi Seinu Amru, Shar HaTovach, it means they sat in the Lishkas HaGozes. Shar Shemechatchin Bo Halachos. Aleim Hu Oimer Mekoim HaMishpat Shomo Horesha. What it says in Koheles, the place where Mishpat was once executed, there is now a place of an act of wickedness. So this means they came and they set up shop in the Lishkas HaGozes. Tovech also means to cut. To cut a place where halacha was deciding. The deciding of halacha is described in the expression of slicing.
Like the same term is used in the brisbane of sar.
To break into two parts. It's clarity. When you slice, you have a dilemma. Should I do this? Should I do this? When you chiduch hadin, to decide law, is always expressed with the expression of cutting. So sach hakol, we have over here three different interpretations for what it means, the Shar HaTovech. There were three walls protecting Yerushalayim, and on Tisha B'Av they came into the middle wall. According to the second interpretation, they came into the Azara relative to the Heichel, and the other extreme, Ezras Noshim. Third interpretation, they came into the Lishkas HaGozis, and this was very painful because there's nothing more valuable in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the study of Torah. And now that in this place where Torah is being was once studied and decided, the wicked army of the Nebuchadnezzar are deciding matters of destruction for Klal Yisrael. It's a mashal. The Medrash gives a mashal of the Medrash gives a mashal of where a peasant comes in to a palace, and he hangs up a shmata on the same place where the king used to hang up his crown. You have a beautiful palace, and there's a special place where the king puts his most precious and private possessions, and when a peasant comes in after the king leaves, he takes his dirty, filthy shmata and he hangs up his shmata in the same place where the king used to put his crown. Same thing here, the Shar HaTovech is the Lishka Gozis, where the king used to put.
So this is on
Shiva Asapatana. So here it says, I made a very tragic mistake. I'm sorry. Let me take a step back. Okay, I made a very big mistake here. Perek Beis, I said Betishal, the Chodesh Harivi is Tammuz. I don't know. It's not Chav Koyeh. The walls of the city were breached. According to this pasuk, is not yet describing the Churban. The Churban takes place on Tisha B'Av. Let's read the pasuk one more time. In the 11th year of Tzidkiyahu, B'Chodesh Harivi, in the fourth month. The fourth month is Chodesh Tammuz. On what day of the month? B'tisha l'chodesh, on the ninth day of the month, Hovka ha'ir, the walls of the city were breached. Now, what happened on this day? Then we have the eight people. The chulu, fine. Now, what's the obvious question you're asking, Mr. Marillis? That we fast on the 17th day of Tammuz, not on the 9th day of Tammuz. So what in the world is going on? So this question is asked both by the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. According to the Bavli, the answer is Enochinami in Mor Masech the Tainis and Afchav Chesamibes Enochinami. There's a difference between the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. In the time of the Bayis Rishon, the walls of Yerushalayim were breached on the 9th day of Tammuz, and it was a month later when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. According to one interpretation, it's not so simple. According to the opinion, and only during the time of the Bayis Sheni was the Beis Hamikdash destroyed. The walls of the Yerushalayim breached on the 17th day of Tammuz. Which of these days do we fast to commemorate the breaching of the walls of the Beis Hamikdash? Obviously, we focus on the Bayis Sheni.
The walls of Yerushalayim. They're sitting in the Azara. It takes them a week.
Right. So you're asking a very good question. No, you're really asking a very, very good question. According to the...
Why'd you feel away? How can it take you so long?
Exactly. No. What was breached? According to the Mitsudos, the walls of Yerushalayim were breached. According to Rashi, we have a very big problem. He's telling us what was breached was not the walls of Yerushalayim, but it was the Azara. The walls of the Azara. But that's not the tradition. The tradition is that the walls of that took place on Tisha B'Av. This event is focusing specifically on the breaching of the walls of Yerushalayim. And it's right, it took a month, it took three weeks in order to battle. Even though they broke the walls of Yerushalayim, they were fighting.
Right, I understand that, but if they're in the Azara, it doesn't take them
right.
3 weeks to get
exactly,
there.
Exactly. So that is the problem. You are right. You are 100% correct. Okay, now let's.
That's why, by the way, he said, because the proofs to you, the point of this, what he asked is that it, the Kohanim and the Levium who were defending the Beis Hamikdash, what fierce fighters they were. You can't imagine that these were, we think of Rebbeim, these Kohanim and Levium.
They were holding back.
They were vicious fighters. They really.
A whole army for 100
Their life was on the line and they knew it. You know, when you back somebody against the wall and he's got nothing to lose, they come out swinging.
Isn't Davy Crockett had trouble?
Okay, let's go look.
1-3 weeks.
Let's look at Pasuk Gimel first in the Radak, and then we'll discuss many issues. Vayeshu b'shar tavech shar shahoye ben shnei sharim. It is a gate between two other gates. Symbol. Oy perusha shar hachoyma hatichoyna, the middle wall. So he gave pretty much the parish of the Mitzudos David. It's like now we say what Rashi says. They came into the gate of the Azara. The Hoya Mizrahi, the east side, the east gate of the Azar is what we call in the second bias the Shar Nikinar. The Shiva Shemos Nikulo, this gate, the what we call Shar Nikinar, had seven names. The Nikra Shar HaTovach, it's called over here the gate that is the center gate. Shoyebein Shnei Sharim, between two other gates. V'hanochayim Shohoya Misharei Yerushalayim. The best interpretation is that this is one of the gates of Yerushalayim. Shenema Vayavo Vayeshu Be'erbich Nisosam Be'er Acher Shehovko. They came and they entered Be'er in the city. Achar Shehovko Ohoir. After they breached the city, Yoshu, they sat Beshar HaTovach. Bezehu Shenibe Yirmiyahu. The reason why this pasuk is being mentioned here, as we said before, is because this was a fulfillment of the prophecy of Yirmiyahu. Uvahu Venosnu Ish Kiso Pesach Sharei Yerushalayim. Then we list the eight different people. Nergal, Mila, Chada. There is no break between Ner and Gal. It's one word. Then we have Sar Etzer, Mila Chada. That's not what we have in our text. Our text, at least in my text, I have over here two different words with a hyphen in between, Sar Etzer. Then we have the next one he mentioned over here is Sam Samgar Nevu, Mila Chada. V'yeshvam Shekosav Samgar Nevu Tartein Mila, two different words, Makif Benem with a Makif between them. V'yeshvam Nevu Beshruk, some have Nuvu, not Nevu, but Nuvu. Next, Sar Sichim, Milachah, that's one word, V'chasu B'shin U'v'mem, and the proper pronunciation with the Shin and with the Mem at the end. Rav Saris, train Milin, two different words, Rav Mag, Taratin Milin, two different words, V'zeh Masha Zohar Nergal, this one it says Nergal, and Sar Etzer Pamacheres Ulay Achin Muhayu Shmam Kishmam. He takes note that we have repetition. We have here in this pasuk Nergal twice, and we have here twice Sar Etzer. So he says it's possible that the two people had the same name. Okay. So that's a different interpretation. So you want to say that Nergal Sar Etzer was Rav Mog. You want to say that was the title that was given to Rav Mog. He had, I don't know. But it's something which is curious. What exactly does it mean? What's the interpretation of the repetition of this pasuk? Okay, so let's take a step back. We have over here the pasuk was telling us that it was on the fourth month. That's the month of Tammuz. On the ninth day of the month, the walls were breached. We have a machloikis. We have an obvious question: how could it be that it says here that it was on the ninth day when we commemorate the breaching of the walls of Beis Hamikdash on the 17th day? This question is asked both by the Talmud Bavli and the Talmud Yerushalmi. The Talmud Bavli says in Chanami there is a difference between the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. The Bayis Rishon, the walls were breached on the ninth day, and the Bayis Sheni, the walls were breached on the 17th day. What do we commemorate? We commemorate the 17th. In other words, this itself is a very important lesson. The Ikur Avelus Bizman Hazeh is on the Churban Bayis Sheni. Now we could be misled to believe that we should be misabel both equally on the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. No, it says over here that the fact that we observed the 17th, not the 9th, we're focusing primarily on the Bayis Sheni because that's the most relevant, that's the most recent, and that is the cause of the Churban for us. It's the Churban of the Bayis Sheni, and that is an afkamina. What averus are we supposed to focus on to do tshuva in order to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash? Being the Bayis Rishon was avodah zara, gilui arayos, shfichas damim, and the Bayis Sheni was Sinas Chinam. The fact that we commemorate primarily the Bayis Sheni with the 17th day of Tammuz, not the 9th day of Tammuz, indicates that we should focus primarily on Sinas Chinam. Okay, now the Yerushalmi disagrees. The Yerushalmi says the truth is that the day that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the walls were breached, was the 17th day of Tammuz. Why then does it say here the 9th day of Tammuz? It's a mistake. Irbuv cheshbonos bolakan. They got confused due to the siege, the famine, and all of the tragedies that were happening in Klaishal at this point in time. The people lacked clarity in mind. They were unable to make calculations, and they mistakenly thought that it was the ninth day of Tammuz, not the 17th day of Tammuz. Now, this itself represents the ultimate fall of glory for Klal Yisrael, because it says in Parshas Vayeschanan that it will be. I've got the pasuk. He's not. Rabbi Revsky is not here. The pasuk is Kihi Chochmaschem Ubinaschem Le'enei Ha'amim. that the nations of the world, when they're going to see Klal Yisrael make calculations, Chazal and Torah refer to the calculations of the Chodesh Sheibor, the calculations of the new moon, they're going to be astonished, and they're going to say, wow, look at such a nation. There's no me. Who is like Klal Yisrael, who's able to have... What's the Pasuk of Kihi Chochmaschem Ubinasem? What's the beginning of the Pasuk? The beginning of the Pasuk. The Amru Kol Hagoyim.
The Amru Kol Hagoyim.
No, no, that's the impossible.
That's
the
impossible.
Okay. Kihi Chochmaschem Ubinaschem. So look how far we have fallen. What it used to be that Klal Yisrael was able to make the most difficult mathematical calculations to determine when the moon will appear, v'chulu v'chulu, on all the astronomical calculations. Now Klal Yisrael have been reduced to such a low level, they don't even know the date of the month. They don't
they
even
don't know.
Know.
Shabbos, they don't know the day of the week then.
Well, it doesn't say they didn't know if it was Shabbos. Seemingly, they still knew if it was Shabbos or it was weekday, but they did not know the day of the month. That was such a disgrace. This itself was a fall from glory, a fall from grace, that the Pasuk here is mentioning according to the Perush of the Yerushalmi. Now, it comes out according to the Yerushalmi, comes out then that there's actually no difference. When we commemorate Shiva Asa B'Tamuz, we're really commemorating equally the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni, because the truth is the walls were breached for the Bayis Rishon on the 17th day of Tam as well. And the only reason why it says here the 9th day was because they got confused. They got confused and they mistakenly did not, they lost calculation of the new month.
Very simple. The 7th and the 9th, and the moon is much different. You can easily tell
this. It goes to show how far they've fallen in a Hanami. That's exactly the point. It says they needed 30 people to pull Yirmiyah, 30 people to pull Yirmiyah out of the dungeon when it only would normally take 3 people. So it shows physically they were so weak, maybe mentally they lost their minds. They did not know, they wrote down that the breach took place on the 9th day of Tammuz, when it really took place on the 17th day of Tammuz. And there's another medrash. Now, I don't know the full scope of this medrash, but the medrash says that no matter which opinion you follow, whether it was the 9th day or it was the 17th day, the gap between the breach of the walls of Yerushalayim to the Churban was exactly 21 days. 21 days. And therefore, if we are of the opinion that the walls were breached on the 17th day of Adar, so what is 21 days later? Tisha B'Av, when we observe the 9th day of Av. If you learn that the breach really did occur on the 9th day of Tammuz, then the Churban Beis HaMikdash occurred on Rosh Chodesh Av. Because this goes back to the first prophecy in Sefer Yirmiyah. When Yirmiyah, Hashem is Yirmiyah, what do you see? And Yirmiyah said, I see a staff of almonds, Shkedim. And Chazal said, what is the significance of Shkedim? Shkedim are diligent. Shlosh Shaked, 21 days. It takes exactly 21 days from the time an almond begins to blossom until it develops a fruit. And this is a fixed given that is not going to be more than 21 days from the time of the breaching of the walls of Yerushalayim and the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. So it would come out, if you want to go to the full conclusion, according to the parish of the Bavli, according to the Bavli, if I'm not mistaken, it comes out that really the Churban Bayis Rishon happened, the breaching of the walls happened on the 9th day of Tammuz, and the Churban Bayis Rishon then seemingly happened on Aleph Av, the first day of Chodesh Av. It's only according to the Yerushalmi that says that the number over here is imprecise. It really took place on the 17th day, and the number 9 was only written because there was a confusion. Then the Churban Bayis Rishon also happened on the 9th day of Av. So this nafka mina is not just a nafka mina in when the walls were breached. There's a nafka mina as to when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, because it's a given that there's not going to be more than 21 days between the breaching of the walls and the actual Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. That's a chiddush, because you would assume, I always assume until I saw this yesterday, that that even according to the Man D'Amar, that the walls of Yerushalayim were breached on the 9th day, the Beis HaMikdash of the Bayis region still occurred on also the 9th day of Av, which means it'd be exactly 30 days or 31 days in between the two. But it's saying it's not so. It's not so. It's saying that there has to be this gap of 21 days. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Dalit, when they saw that the walls were breached. So here we are now going to describe the escape. Tzidkiyo had a special secret tunnel, a very elaborate tunnel. Who knows how much money? Ushmartem vasitzem ki hi chokhmaschem ubinaschem leinei ha'amim asher yishmuun eis kol hachokim o'elevi amru rak am chokhom v'novon ha'goy ha'gadol hazeh ki mi goy gadol asher lo lokim kurim olof. And look what happened to Klal Yisrael. Now they've been reduced to the point where they can't even make a calculation the day of the month. Okay, now Tzidkiyahu had constructed for him, he commissioned that it be constructed for himself an extremely complex and secret tunnel that would take him from his palace to safety in, I think, in Yericho, if I'm not mistaken, in Yericho. And this was a very great secret. And it was always his backup plan, just in case he needs to escape, he would use this tunnel to escape. Hashgacha Pratis had it, that he went and he escaped. And but as he came out of the other end, this Rome, the Babylonians happened to be trapping deer. They were hungry. They were on the road, obviously. They needed what to eat. And there was a deer that happened to pass along the entrance of this cave. They shot an arrow. And lo and behold, who did they find when they came to get the deer? Tzidkiyahu happened at that moment to come out of the cave. They recognized him. He was captured and he was brought down to Babel. And that's what this pasuk here describes. When they heard what happened, so the vayivrchu, they fled. Vayetsu laila, they left the city. They went out in the middle of the night. Minoir derech gan hamelech, through the gan, the garden of the king, Bashar bain Bashar among by the gate bain hachoymosoyim, between a gate that was found in between the walls, vayetse derech arava, and he went out through the arava. Pasuk hey, vayirdefu chel kastim acharehem, the army of the kastim chased after the camp of Tzidkiyahu, vayasigu et Tzidkiyahu bi arvos yirecho. That's where the cave ended. Vayikhu also, they took him, vayalu, and they brought him up, el Nebuchad Retzar, Melech Babel, Rivlos. As we mentioned before, because Nebuchadnezzar never came down to Jerusalem, he was afraid that it would happen to him like what happened to Sancheriv. The Eretz Chamos, in the land of Chamos, Vayidaber, he told Mishpatim, and he spoke with him harshly. The main thing he spoke to him was that you are guilty because you violated the oath. When in the good old days, when you were the leader of the region of the five different states that were in the Middle East, I appointed you the leader, and I also made you swear that you would do two things. Number one, you would not rebel against me. Number two, that you would not reveal to people that I ate rabbits, I ate live animals. And you violated both of these oaths. You revealed to the people that I'm a wild man, I eat living animals, and you also rebelled against me. Therefore, it's only fitting, deserving that I should go and I should punish you. Let's take a look at the Mefarshim, starting with Pasuk Dalid, in the Mitzudos David, Derech Gan HaMelech, Tzidkiyahu, on this day, on the ninth day of Teveh, a ninth day of Tammuz, he fled through the palace of the king, B'derech She'etzel Gan HaMelech, B'shar, by the gate of Oymeid, Ben Shnei HaMchamas, between the two walls, Derech HaRava, B'derech HaHoylech, El Arvas Yericho, the Derech that passes the plains of Yerechai, Vayirdefu, Amru Rabbo Seinu Tzchon Levracha, Barach, he fled derech Ma'ara, a cave, Ha'hileches ad Arvos Yericho, until the plains, until the tunnel to the plains of Yericho, V'nizdamein Tzvi Ha'hilech Mimal al Ha'ma'ara. It happened to be that a deer was passing on the top of the cave, V'rotfu Achastim Achar Hatzvi, they ran to seize the deer, U'v'vayom L'pesach Ha'ma'ara, and as they came to the opening of the cave, Mitzao Es Ha'melech Yotzei, the Melech Tzidkiyahu happened to be coming out, Vitov Suhu, and they seized him. Tzidkiyahu, Osu Levan, he called Chelo Nafutsu Me'olav. The only one that they seized was Tzidkiyahu, because everyone else fled. Kamosha Kazim, Sefer Sefer Melachim, like it says, the end of the Sefer Melachim, that everyone abandoned Tzidkiyahu. Rivlasa, they brought Tzidkiyahu to Nebuchadnezzar, who happened to be now staging in Rivlasa, Ki Beherich Yimei HaMatzar, Holach Nebuchadnezzar LeRivla. Now he's learning something different. He's not focusing on the Medrash. According to the Mitzudos, simply Nebuchadnezzar indeed did come to Yerushalayim, but being that the siege took 3 years and they were getting nowhere, it was not yet the Zman when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy Yerushalayim, and the siege was getting nowhere, so Nebuchadnezzar was frustrated, so he went back to Rivla. And then suddenly, when he went back to Rivla, suddenly his assistant, his general, Nebuzaradan, was able to proceed and conquer the wall. He spoke with him, Mishpatim, Hisfakeach Imo, Al-Moshe, Morad Bo. He fought with him. He debated him. Why did you rebel against me? Va'avar al shavuaso kmo shekasav v'divrei hayonim. Okay, fine. Now let's see over here what it says in Rashi. Rashi says that Tzidkiyahu he fled derech Gan Hamelech. Ma'orev hoysolo mibeso. He had a ma'orev. Is that what you have? Yeah, you have a ma'orev. I have a mistake. I have a.
We have mem ayin
reish. I have a mem ayin resh with the base, but el chayitz amar is a cave. It should be a cave. Ma'ara hoy solo mi beso ad arvos yirecho. The yotza leilich derech hamara. He fled through that cave. Ma'asa kadosh baruch hu lekayim. So again, here is uforasti es rishti olav. I will spread my net upon Tzidkiyahu. Zimein tzvi lifnei hakastim mahalech al gag hamaara. He prepared a deer to run on the top of the cave. Chutz liir v'rotzu achrav l'tofso the kastim. They fled after the deer to seize it. V'hu rotz ad pesach hamaara v'ro es Tzidkiyahu. And the deer went to the opening of the cave and they saw Tzidkiyahu yoytze min hamaara and he was captured. Vayidaber ito mishpatim. The Nebuchadnezzar spoke with Tzidkiyahu harsh words. Lama avarta al hashvua. Why did you violate the oath that you should not rebel against me? Let us see the Radak. Derech Gan Hamelech. Dar Shubo. The Gan refers ki ma'ora achas choysa mibeso ad arvos yirecho. The drash is there was a cave that led from his home to the plains of Yerecho. V'derech ha'ma'ara baruch shalom ro'oso, no one saw him. V'zim ha'kadosh baruch hu v'tzvi yecha v'rohu v'chel kastim v'lot v'acharav v'yatzi ho'lech el ha'ma'ara v'im acharav k'shay yo'a pesach ha'ma'ara ro'ot z'kiyo yo'otzim in ha'ma'ara v'lok ho'oso and they took him. V'yaleu el Nebuchadnezzar Rivlasa v'haloi ba Nebuchadnezzar Yerushalayim. What is Nebuchadnezzar doing in Rivlasa? Why wasn't he in Yerushalayim? Ela sh'archu yimei ha'matzar. The siege took too long. It took over 3 years. He was frustrated. So he went to go vacation in Rivlasa. V'holach lo Nebuchadnezzar to Rivlasa. V'yidaber ito mishpatim al shemorad bo. Two things. He spoke with him harshly. Why did you rebel against me? Why did you refuse to surrender? Number two, v'hofer briso, and that was the violation of the bris that there was between them, that he would not rebel against him. V'av al shvuas Hashem asher yishpiu be'elokim, and he would transgress the shvua of Hashem that it was put upon him. Okay, let's go back to the pasuk vav. Now here's something very frightening. V'yishchat melech bavel espinei Tzidkiyahu berivla le'enav. He did something that is one of the greatest tragedies in Jewish history. Nebuchadnezzar, he slaughtered the king's children in his presence. He killed his children. The ace called Chore Yehuda Shachat Melech Bavel, all of the free men. Chore means the free men of Yehuda. Melech Bavel he killed. The Esenei Tzidkiyahu Iver, he blinded the eyes of Tzidkiyahu. Vayasreu Ban Chushtayim, and he shackled him in chains. Lavi oso bavela, to bring him down to Bavel, humiliated him. V'yazbeis ha'melech v'yazbeis ha'am sarfu ha'kastim bo'esh, the beis ha'melech and the beis ha'am, they burned in fire. V'yazchoymos Yerushalayim nosotsu, they demolished the walls of Yerushalayim. Okay, v'yaz, in Pasuk Tes, v'yaz yeser ha'am ha'nisharim be'ir, v'yaz ha'neflim asher naflu olav, v'yaz yeser ha'am ha'nisharim hegla nevu zar'adon rav tabochim bavel. Nevu Zaradan, he exiled to Babel. Now let's stop over there with Pasuk. Let's see over here the Mitzudos, starting with Pasuk Avav. Pasuk, there is no Vav. Let's go to Pasuk Ches. There's Beis Ha'am, Ritzon Eloimar. Beis kol echad migdolei ha'am kemo shekasta b'sof ha'sefer v'lochim. It's called Beis Ha'am, all of the great people of the city he went and he exiled. Rashi, Pasuk Vav is called Chore Yehuda, Elu HaSanhedrin. When it says here that he put to death the free men of the people, it refers to the Sanhedrin. Elu Sha'al Shehetiru Loi Eshivu Aso, Hachet Hoye Be'ene Elokim Shehetiru Hashivu. So this is what Rashi is telling us, is that the reason why the Sanhedrin was the one who was matir the Shavuah of Nebuchadnezzar, so he held them accountable, and that's why they were all put to death. The Esbeisa'am, so he learned, see, very interesting, the Bate Kinosios. It doesn't refer to the Chashuvim. The Machloik is between the Mitsudos and Rashi. If we go back to the Mitsudos, he explains that when it says here, Beisa'am, Ritzon Olam, a base called Echad, the home of each one of the Gedolei Ha'am. Each one of the great people, the home of each of the great people were destroyed. Here he says that he destroyed all of the Bate Kinesios Bate Midrashas. Kristallnacht. Right, this is one of the great Churbanos of Europe. They didn't just destroy the Jews, they destroyed all of the holy Bate Kinesios Bate Midrashas. Okay, what does it say in the Radak? Radak starting with Pasik Hey. I'm sorry, Pasik Vav, the ace called Chor Yehuda, Kitsine Yehuda, the several of the leaders, Zayin, Bin Chushtayim, he shackled Sidkiyahu in chains, Shal Shaloi Shal Barzel, chains of iron, the Heim Lashon Shnayim, it says here, Lefisha Heim Lashtei Haraglayim, the reason why it's called Bin Chushtayim, Shtayim is two, is because the person has two legs. Of Lashon Nechayshes, why is it called copper? Barzel is not copper, Ki Min Chayshes Hayu O. They were from Nechayshes, they were from copper. Oh, in Barzel, Chozok Hanikro Nechusha. It has the Sherish of Nechayshes because one of the words that is used to describe strong Barzel is Nechusha. Lav Yosef Bavela, Kamo Lahavi, the Hey at the end, Vechem Mehachel Tatrumo Lahavi, Lavi Beis Hashem, it means to bring. V'espeisa'am, Kamo Bate Ha'am Derech Klal, Uvidrash V'espeisa'am Ze Beis HaKnesses. He destroyed the Bate Kinesios. Okay, Pasuk Tes in the Radak, Nivu Zar Adon, Milo Chodo, V'chein Kol Nevuchad Netzar, U'Nevuchad Retzar, Milo Chodo is always one word. Now there is a Medrash, the Medrash here says something very frightening, it says that there were very few people in the history of the world that were blessed with unusual eyesight like Tzidkiyahu. Tzidkiyahu had eyesight that was second to none. He had tunnel vision. He can see things that the average person cannot see. We always hear about different animals. There are certain creatures that are able to see things miles away. Miles away, or they're able to see the microscope in the dark, who knows what. It says that in the Medrash of Nebuchadnezzar that Tzidkiyahu had a unique koyach hara'iyah, a special gift, superhuman gift of seeing things. And Nebuchadnezzar knew about this, and that was what he wanted to do. He wanted to take away the gift. You want to hurt a person where it hurts. When you want to destroy a person, so what do? You take away from him the thing which means the most. So stop. We read that he was blinded. Okay, so he was blinded. We don't really appreciate what that meant. When he said that he was blinded, it was like he took away his superpower. The superpower of Tzidkiyahu was this unusual koyach hara'iyah. So obviously it was very painful. The Medrash goes further to say that nothing he did to him worked. He tried all different ways to take away his eyesight. He even threw metal iron spears in his eyes, and they didn't penetrate. His eyes were superhuman. They were shot. Nothing he can do can possibly affect the koyach hara'iyah. So he did to him the ultimate. He took his 10 children and he killed them. He murdered them in his front of him. When he murdered them, Tzidkiyahu cried such bitter tears that destroyed his eyesight. It's a whole new insight into understanding what exactly the significance of the eyes. Again, we read this all the time. He was taken to prison and he was blinded. What's that all about? Number one, the eyes were superhuman. They were not normal. He tried to take away the eyes and all normal means that are available in this world. None of that worked. The only way to take away a person's eyesight is by causing him to cry. How does one cause someone else to cry? By killing his children in his presence. The bitter tears that were released in this experience caused Tzidkiyahu to lose the koyach hara'iyah. He killed his eyes from within, not from without. All right, we'll stop over here now. Here, Rabbi Yisrael, what we're going to do today.